Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. You know, we've called it dismal. We've called it abysmal, pathetic, even disgraceful. Yeah, I'm talking about voter turnout last week. Just 36.4% of eligible voters turned out in the midterms. And as you've probably heard over the last couple of days, the lowest number, the lowest percentage since 1942 in the middle of World War II. So why did so few people show up? Apathy? Sure. Disgust with Washington? Probably. All the negative ads? Yeah, all that too. But we want to talk a little bit about what we can do to improve it. Can't get all those ads off of TV, but we can probably do a lot to make voting easier, more convenient, even some reminders. Well, Seth Flaxman is co-founder and executive director for the nonprofit Democracy Works organization. They have a website called turbovote.org. They're trying to demystify the often antiquated and sometimes bureaucratic loopholes that people have to go through in order to vote in this country. Hi, Seth.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin at the beginning. You know, when people talk about the inconvenience of voting, and we're also going to talk about apathy, because I got to put you on the spot about this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that a website that makes it easy to vote takes care of the fact that people are disgusted with Washington. But let's start with ease, if we can. Why do we vote on Tuesday? That's always the first question, and I've covered politics for years. I don't get why it's not on Saturday when everybody's off.
Right. So this is actually a great story. It's a metaphor with a lot of the problems in the system. So we vote on a Tuesday because that was the height of convenience for voters in the 1700s. Sunday was church day. Then if you were in George Washington's district, you'd go down, travel to his house Monday, get drunk at a party. Then Tuesday morning, the two candidates would line up in the square. And you would, one at a time, shake the hands of the candidate you supported in front of everyone, and you'd be back home in time for market day on Wednesday. So we have a long tradition in the U.S. of making voting fit the way we live. The problem is that it's fitting the way we lived in the 1700s.
So this is a relic of our past, and of course we have a lot more people. We work much different work hours now, So tell me how turbovote.org works. I live in Washington, D.C. I don't get to vote for a senator, so that might make your job easier. But the election's coming up. What's my experience like on your site? What do you do for me?
Yeah, so the idea is someone should be able to sign up once and then get help with everything they need to stay registered and vote in all of their elections for the rest of their life. That's what we're trying to achieve. So what that means is if you need to register to vote, if you need to vote by mail, there are our forms often involved in that, so we'll fill out those forms for you. We'll email them to you, but we can also mail them to you with a pre-addressed, pre-stamped envelope. We used to say that was easy as Netflix, but went back when Netflix was mostly mailing you DVDs. And then we'll send text message and email reminders to make sure that you meet all of your deadlines. So a reminder to send in your vote by mail application and then the ballot. And if you're voting in person, you know, reminder like tomorrow's your primary election, here's where your polling place is. So anywhere where there's a piece of friction we can take out of the process with information, that's what we try to do.
So you try to smooth out the speed bumps, and there are many for people to get their vote in.
Right, exactly. And this is a major point and something you alluded to when we started talking. When you look at the census data, the census actually asks people why they don't vote. And in 2012, the majority of people who didn't vote, nearly 60%, attribute it to just a range of process issues. You know, everything you can imagine, sort of like registration process issues, inconvenient polling place, had to work, weather, transportation problems. And this is the low-hanging fruit of the problem. We can do a lot to address those problems without needing to make legislative changes. We just need to work on the technology and often with the local election administrators who actually run the elections, where people really aren't building good innovative technology for them.
Well, that's fair enough, Seth Flaxman, but let me read you a comment that we got from Lyndon, who wrote to us on Facebook. The politicians spend millions to say what or who they hate and are against, but don't offer the voters anything that they plan to do other than to dismantle what has been done by their enemy rival. This is somebody who says that they vote even though it seems pointless. Now, convenience is great. Smoothing out those speed bumps is fantastic, but you can't do anything really about disgust with Washington, with apathy, with people being turned off by gridlock and by a system that they feel has nothing to offer them, I suppose, unless you think that a generation of voters will change that dynamic. But that's a long way off.
Well, I mean, there's two different thoughts on that. The first is that you know, the politicians ultimately only are going to represent the people who vote. And when only 30 to 40% of people are voting, those are the people that politicians are really going to worry about serving. So if we can increase participation by those 50% of people for whom process is the main part of the issue, we'll already have changed the game significantly. And then we can really address some of the apathy and disengagement issues. But I think the ordering of tackling these problems is important, because if you are if you do find a way that you can engage someone who's really disengaged from the process, but then they have this awful voting experience, they're not going to be turned into a lifelong voter. They're going to realize, like, oh, this one time I thought it was worth it, and then I just had this awful voting experience. So I think you have to make the experience better so that when you do get someone interested in voting, you can help them turn them into a civic behavior, a habit over their lifetime.
Now that voting and ease of voting has become a political issue, let's face it, there are lots of Republican state legislatures that are erecting barriers to vote. They say it's for voter fraud. Their opponents say it's to keep Democratic voters away from the polls. Now that voting and the ease of voting is a partisan issue, do you find yourself trying to get people out to vote playing to one side? There is a party in power in Congress, at least after January, that in some states has been trying to keep people away from the polls. You could be construed at this point as participating in partisan activity.
Right. So it's unfortunate. We've worked to gain a lot of Republican support for our work, and we've been successful. So I think some of this is actually a myth. But where we really have to work is the local level with local election officials. In the U.S., our elections are run at the county level and in seven states at the town level. And what we find is that most of the public servants, a Republican or Democrat working at that level of government, really are true public servants who are trying to deliver a good voting experience with very limited means. And when we talk to them about trying to serve their voters better with better technology, all we get is excitement regardless of party. And, you know, maybe we're just blessed that we get to work at the local level and not the national level, but that's what we're seeing.
Can I make a suggestion, Seth Flaxman? We're going to let you go, but just can I make one?
Of course.
Sort of vote. How about every text message, Facebook message, email that you send out, just a little note saying, by the way, turn off the TV. The fewer those ads you see, the more likely you might be to vote. Just turn it off.
Great idea. Thank you.
Take me up on it.
I will,
think it
absolutely.
Might help.
I'm going to do it.
That's Seth Flaxman. He's co-founder and executive editor of the nonprofit Democracy Works. They have a website called turbovote.org. Trying to turn them out. Seth, thank you.
Thank you.